Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and TV writers separated by 3,000 miles ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of the podcast, an author, comedian, pop culture expert, former treasurer of his high school Italian club, a role that required truly niente, Daniel O'Brien, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, make like the 1989 John Cusack hit and say anything.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie, hit Hollywood writer, LA lady, blue jean baby, seamstress for the Dan. And speaking of sewing, a guy who freshman year of high school sewed a 311 patch on a sweatshirt with the expressed intent of making it look like legitimate merch without knowing or having heard a single 311 song.
Were you then, was your plan to sell that sweatshirt?
No, I wanted to look cool.
Oh, did it work?
No, I got caught. Ryan Fleming, who was a senior, said, name one song. And I went,
really? In real life?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I was fooling anybody that I had sewn it on myself, but it looked cool, I thought, and I heard that they were cool, and other people would be like, oh, 311, I love them. And I would be like, yeah, I know, me too. And then Ryan Fleming just knew. He just had me. He had a beat on me. I was like, name one song. And I couldn't do it.
I will never understand the confidence of Ryan Fleming's, that you can like spot a fraud or a poser and roll up on them and expose them in front of everybody else.
Yeah, the worst part is I don't think Ryan Fleming...
You're 15 years old or whatever. What the fuck? How are you a crime boss?
I don't think Ryan Fleming was even a fan of them either. I think he was just like, this kid's fucking faking it. I know it. And he was right.
Man. Thank you so much to Hawthorne for supporting Quick Question. Hawthorne is a premium tailored personal care brand that makes it easy for guys to feel and smell their best. Get special offers for the holidays going on right now by visiting hawthorne.co.
Thanks to Hello Tushy for supporting Quick Question. Hello Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips onto your toilet and sprays your anus clean with fresh water. And it's the best thing you can do for your anus, and it starts at just $79. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ. Get 10% off your order.
Anyway, we're going to get into this show where we ask each other questions, give each other answers, but we actually wanted to take one of your questions this week because we have a Patreon, apparently, and people pay money to support the show. And one of the perks they get is they get to ask questions that we will read on the show and answer. And this one is from Rural Peepaw, who is at TYD4EE. And he says, QQ for ya, what is the future of comedy in this new world? Obviously, it won't return to how it was in, say, 2014. So what's next for your work and shows like SNL?
What does that mean? What was comedy in 2014?
I don't... That's a very good question.
It's not like a 9/11 type event happened.
Right. It's not like, we're not saying like, it would make sense if he'd said 2016.
Yeah.
Why don't you start answering, and I'm going to Google comedy 2014.
Maybe it was because that's when it was like, when we were really in the deep stuff and cracked. Like, that's when After Hours is coming out and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. I have no idea what the future of comedy is. I'm in no position to be saying what comedy is going to be.
I am not either. I think, and I'm not speaking on behalf of my show. I'm guessing what our future holds, is that we will do much fewer Trump centric stories.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can point to and guess at going forward into the new Trumpless year. And by the way, like, it's not going to be Trumpless. He's still going to be a figure around all the time, no matter what. But it gives us a little bit of breathing room to focus more on the stories that we used to focus on, or that the show used to focus on, rather, before he was president.
Yeah.
Which are smaller and weirder and more local and much more fascinating to me than just like, here's what this fucking idiot did and here's how his insane cultish cronies are supporting it. Like, that became the necessary work that we felt like we needed to do. And ideally, we won't have to do that anymore. That doesn't mean we're going to stop paying attention to what's going on in modern politics, but it means that I'm anticipating fewer stupid Watergate stories going forward.
Yeah.
Which will be nice.
I guess if I'm thinking about the things that really make me laugh and that feel new and unique, it's like the direction I hope comedy would continue going. I hope that shows like I Think You Should Leave would continue to be made and get a lot more mm-hmm. credit, and that there's some sort of resurgence in sketch comedy. I would love to see that. And I guess I'm just going to put my money on that.
Yeah. Well, that'll be nice. Thank you, Rural Peepaw, for being a patron. And I hope that question...
What were the comedies of 2014?
No, I'm going to take that back. Thank you, Rural Peepaw, for being a patron, and I hope that answer satisfied you.
Like, how could it have?
I don't know. Like, I Googled comedy in 2014, and one of the first results is What We Do in the Shadows.
Ooh.
That's still a show. So, like,
more
it's
of that.
The same. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. More of that, please.
Let's see. That was Neighbors came out then.
Mm-hmm.
The Grand Budapest Hotel. I mean, we're doing a lot of this stuff still. So yeah. I guess it'll just keep on trucking. Peepaw. Yeah. Did I get that name right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hawthorne is a premium tailored personal care brand that's making it easy for guys to feel and smell their best. I love Hawthorne. If you're looking to take your self-care routine to the next level, Hawthorne helps you get high-quality products tailored specifically for your needs. They give you free shipping on your order, and if you decide you're not satisfied with your product, they'll even give you free shipping on the return and give you new suggestions based on your feedback. Hawthorne has a quiz on their website that you can take so you can find out what is the best skincare, shampoo, conditioner, cologne, eye cream, whatever, for you. I took their quiz. They asked me a bunch of questions, and they were really helpful to me. They asked me if my skin was dry, or if my skin was greasy, or if my skin was just a bunch of spiders, and I was happy that I knew that it wasn't. They also asked me what was more important to me in a deodorant. Do I want to smell good? Do I want to keep the sweat away? Or do I want something that is going to fulfill those needs while also being good for the environment? It's a really great company. The quiz was easy, and if I'm being honest, illuminating. And the results were, they gave me a bunch of different soaps to try, and colognes, and shampoos, and conditioners, and body washes, and I used them all, and folks, I love them all. My favorite thing that I got from Hawthorne from taking that quiz was they sent me two different colognes, a work cologne and a play cologne, and in these COVID times where a lot of the days feel monotonous, it's kind of nice to dress up one day and spritz yourself with some cologne that smells great. You know, it gives me confidence, and it makes me feel like today is different than yesterday. So I love that, and also I smell darn great. If you want to check out Hawthorne and also smell like me and get special offers for the holidays going on right now, you can do so by visiting hawthorne.co. That's hawthorne.co. You can check out their special holiday offers right now. So let's get into the show. Soren, do you have any questions for me, by the way?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Daniel.
Yes.
What's a skill set that you developed when you were young that you didn't realize would be like rare later in life? Something that you at the time felt like everybody had to know, and then you didn't understand at the time that you would be one of the only people in the future who knew that. I can go first if you want.
Yeah, because I don't think my answer fits.
Okay.
But go on. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, of course. So I figured out no one knows how to sew. And I learned sewing very early on because I was a rollerblader. And if those two things don't correlate in your mind immediately, then you weren't a true rollerblader.
Yeah, it's tough because I was also a rollerblader and also know how to sew. So like, this all makes sense to me.
I would wear giant Capel pants or SMP pants, silver tabs, like those Levi's, but you'd buy them way, way too big. And then you'd wear a braided belt with them that would, like, the braid would hang down to your knees pretty much. And then the bottoms of the pants, what you really wanted was to be able to cut the bottoms off So you buy like size like 42 and you cut them off, and then they'd just be like the size of a thigh, of like a big fat man's thigh. And that was what your skates could fit under, because normal jeans, your skates can't fit under that. And what you wanted were just gigantic pants that you could wear over your skates. And the problem is that the bottoms start to fray. And so I learned how to hem very early on to make them also just kind of look nice. And then, as I mentioned before, sewing patches onto sweatshirts to try and convince people that this is like a cool, unique sweatshirt that I have.
Right.
But at the time, I was just like, Mom, just teach me how to do this. Like, I need to do it. It's not something I'll ever tell anyone about. It's just like this thing I need to know so I can be cool. And now I'm realizing, like, no one I know knows how to sew. In our house, I sew buttons back on all of the things. If something splits, I sew it.
Wait, you're telling me your infant daughter doesn't know how to sew
not
yet?
Not a fucking lick. She cannot do it. So my son has these rubber lizards, and because the legs...
And they don't know how to sew?
They cannot do it. The legs stretch and snap off occasionally, and you can't glue that kind of thing back on. You can't tape it because it's rubber. The only thing you can do is sew them back on. And I've sewed legs onto his toys. His Build-A-Bear started to split. I sewed that right back up. I'm a seamstress. Yeah. And I think that there are a lot... When people find out that I can sew, they're like, really? Okay, great. My blazer has this button that's been a real problem for me. And so, like, at weddings, like, I'll sew people's buttons back on.
Do you bring, like, a small sewing kit to weddings?
I bring a sewing kit in my dop kit when I go and I travel. And so if I'm, like, getting ready with the boys and somebody's mm-hmm. like... I can see that their button is dangling. I'm like, look, that's going to take me fucking 2 minutes to fix for you, and you'll have it for the rest of your life. Do you sew?
I do, yeah. I haven't in a while, but it's something that, I didn't wear the kind of pants that you're talking about when I was rollerblading, mm-hmm. but I did rollerblade, and I also learned how to sew from my mother. I think because a lot of... I had a strange habit, and I still kind of do, of getting the belt loop of my pants caught on like door jams. Like, just walking in and out of a door, and like the way that the thing that holds like where the knob of the door lock goes. Come on, man. Jump in.
Are you talking about the handle of the door?
Stuff.
The handle?
Not the handle, but like where the handle goes into, like what it plugs into.
You know? Oh, I know what you're talking about. The latch.
Yeah, that latch. I would get belt loops caught on that all the time and rip the belt loops off, and then I would have to sew them back. And it happened enough times that my mom just taught me how to do those things. And then it's come in handy many times in my life.
I like that you're hugging the corners, going around those turns tight when you're going in and out of doorways.
Yeah, it's because I'm scared all the time.
But you're also getting from A to B faster than everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
Imagine all the seconds you've saved. Used them for sewing, I suppose.
Right.
Wow, what a weird problem to have. That you.
It's a very strange, like, consistent problem. Just like, oh, this again. Well, I know how to fix this.
There are people in my life who they'll call. If I got a call from them before like my birthday, and they're like, okay, I can't come into your birthday because I was outside and my blouse got caught in the door while I was shutting it of my car, and my entire shirt came off, and now I have to go home. Where I would be like, yeah, okay, that seems right for you. That's the kind of thing that happens to you. Like, people that it just seems like the world is, the inanimate world is out to get them.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, it didn't feel good to come home with two ripped belt loops and be like, Mom, it happened again!
I would assume you would have known how to sew because your monstrous calves rip out of your pants so regularly. I've seen it happen.
I know you have. I think a thing that... So it's not like a defunct skill, and it also is less rare now, but I feel really lucky that I learned how to cook very early on.
That's a good one.
So go to college freshman year, sophomore year, first 2 years staying in dorms, and you don't have a kitchen in your own dorm, you just go to the dining hall, and that's where you eat. You have your meal card, whatever. You buy snacks for your dorm room, and that's it. And then junior year, we moved into an apartment, my roommates and I, and it was the first apartment any of us had ever shared together, any of us had ever lived in, period. And we went grocery shopping, and we got a whole bunch of stuff, and then we brought all the groceries back, and that night, my roommates were like, all right, so should we order a pizza? And I was like, no, we cook the food that we got. And they just didn't know how to cook at all.
Yeah.
And they just watched me, and I was like, well, we got potatoes, and we got this, and we got that, so I'm going to make steak and potatoes, and then some veggies, and we're all going to eat them together. And they're like, wow. And they just watched me cook for a while. It felt like having a superpower. And I also thought, like, what did you think we were doing when we were buying shit at the grocery store? What do you think was going to happen when this pasta came home?
I would have been one of your friends. I never learned how to cook early on. It came so late in my life that I learned how to do it. And
how late?
College, probably. Yeah, senior year of college when I finally lived in a house and I had to go grocery shopping for myself. And then it was, I thought cooking was like, I'm going to pour some Prego over ground turkey and heat up some spaghetti noodles, and I have cooked. Like, I thought, look at this, I made spaghetti. It took me so long to realize, like, making a meal from scratch, this is how you would go about it. Here are things that go together. Here are things you should never combine. But that stuff was alien to me growing up.
I should say something.
No, it's okay. Was it your mom that taught you how to cook?
It was my mom that taught me how to cook. My dad also knows how to cook. My mom taught me. And also, I think there was a period of time in high school where my dad was working nights. My mom was singing in her chorus. She joined a chorus. One of my brothers was at college. One of my brothers was... Oh, I guess they were both at college. Or one of them was working. So it was like one night a week where it was just me as soon as I got home from school. And just fending for myself and sort of learning by doing that way. Which led to a lot of horrible mistakes. A lot of things where I was like, maybe spaghetti and A1 sauce? I'm like, nope. Back to the drawing board on that one.
It's funny you say that, because that's being the only one home before everybody else was how I learned how to make a fire. And that's another one of mine where I didn't realize until I worked on this golf course that had cabins on it and I was like a bellboy, how many calls we would get from people who were like, this is not a gas fireplace. And I would be like, no, you have to go get the firewood from the outside. And they didn't know how to make a fire, and I would come to their cabin and make it for them. But growing up, you would get home anywhere from November to April, and I'd ride the bus home, get there, and it was my job before it got dark to make a fire. And like, now making a fire is just sort of like, it's like instinct at this point. And I didn't realize that nobody else knows how to do that.
No, I certainly can't do that. I've watched YouTube videos.
Nice.
Still can't do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I could give you some pointers, but I don't think it would make very good podcasting.
No, it's fine.
But yeah, making a fire and sewing. I guess I'm like, driving stick is another one that I feel like a lot of people don't know how to do, but that one's become sort of obsolete.
Yeah.
That was the first car I had to drive. The first time I ever drove was in a Toyota truck, like this big 86 Toyota truck, and it was, the stick shift was on the floor, like one of those big long ones. Mm-hmm. And I learned on a manual, and then finding out in college that no one else in college knew how to drive a manual made you feel like you had this special skill set that everyone else was relying on, and it felt good.
Yeah. That's one that I certainly don't know. I've only driven stick once, and it was because my friend had too much to drink and her car was stick, and I just needed to take her home with her car, and then I was going to run back to my car and take myself home. So not ideal circumstances where like a drunk person in the passenger seat is explaining to you how to drive this thing. It was only like two blocks, but it was still like a very nerve-wracking experience and not at all illustrative.
No. Did you stall out a lot?
Yes.
That's so awful. It's so embarrassing. Also, there's such a, the people who are drunk have such a short temper for that, yes, kind of, it's a short tolerance for that kind of thing before they start getting really upset with you.
Just let me do it. No, that's worse. That's worse than this.
Yeah. And then another one, I think we've talked about it before, but packing a backpack, packing for a camping trip. Like what a, it served me well, not to, it translates to like storage as well, packing stuff away and getting it as small and tight as you possibly can. And when I see my wife trying to pack a bag, I'm like, what, who, how did no one teach you this? Where was your older brother before you went on wilderness?
But like, oh, okay. So I guess your older brother did teach you how to pack a bag.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know. I mean, before I was 13, I had,
because
no
like
idea.
Most people don't go on wilderness.
I know. And that's the thing is like you like think back on it and where it came from and you're like, oh, I guess that was a pretty unique experience that I would beat everybody home and have to build a fire in the log cabin I lived in. Where I would go collect wood from down the road and put it up on the deck and store it and then pull some bark out and make sure that I had some good kindling.
I think that's very kind of you that you said that was similar to me making spaghetti with A1 sauce. That's like a very generous thing, a gift that you gave to me.
Well, it is sort of magic as far as I'm concerned. Singing and cooking. That's why I'm such good friends with you, Daniel. You're a wizard as far as I'm concerned. Hey, listen to me. Do you have an anus?
Mm-hmm.
Then this ad is for you. Look, there's a revolutionary new technology that's for cleaning your butt, Dan. It's called water.
Whoa.
Yeah. Get with the program and clean your anus with a bidet. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off. It's hard to believe, but in most countries, they don't do what we do. They don't, at the end of their egestion, they don't then grab some loose leaf paper and just scratch it over their anus to try and get rid of whatever might be left. They do the right thing. They use water. For years, bidets have been available, but they're also very, very expensive. You needed a plumber. It was like a whole separate toilet. You had to do like a little waddle thing. You got off one toilet and you kind of shuffled because your jeans were pulling your knees together over to the other one and you sat down. But not anymore, because Hello Tushy has democratized the idea of cleaning your anus, Daniel. It attaches to your existing toilet. It requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and it cuts toilet paper use by 80%. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in just a few months. What you're also doing is you're taking out the middleman, your hand. You no longer have to rely on your hand to be the one who's doing the dirty work, the very literal dirty work.
Hands-free pooping.
You got hands-free pooping on tap whenever you want. I would say go more than once a day just to experience the pleasure of doing it with a Hello Tushy. And every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Yes, that's right. If you don't like this thing that cleans your anus, you can just send it back and they'll accept it. Join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now and have a clean butt with every flush. Did you know that the average person uses 57 sheets of toilet paper a day?
I didn't know that. I assumed it was, if the average person was anything like me, I assumed it was way, way higher than that. But this is good to know where I fall on the spectrum of normality.
And all of those rolls of toilet paper, they require 37 gallons of water just to be made.
Oh, okay, so it balances out because I use way less water than that.
Yes.
I'm like very paper heavy, very water light. So I think like,
yeah,
like long term, I'm normal.
Well, you're actually contributing to a big problem on this planet, which is the lack of water, Dan. By not using a bidet, you're contributing to a lack of water.
Okay, let me just like dearth? Get you down to like brass tacks. Let's say I'm gonna like throw out a number here.
This is gonna be a math question.
368 sheets of toilet paper a day, and I want to say 8 ounces of water. How am I doing?
No, I'm not good. Not good.
Okay,
because, you know, it's 37 gallons of water for just one roll of toilet paper.
Okay.
So, not great.
So what can I do? How can I make things better?
Okay.
Is there a product I should get?
Yes. It's called Hello Tushy. The bathroom is the modern day self-care oasis, Daniel. I don't know if you heard, but you know, clue yourself in. It doesn't need to cost $1 zillion to upgrade your bathroom. And you deserve to have a Hello Tushy taking care of the dirty work for you.
Okay, so you mentioned zillion, and that's definitely out of the question, but I'm prepared to go to a billion. Is that what Hello Tushy is asking for?
No. Hello Tushy only costs $79.
Yeah, $10 million.
You only need to pay $79.
$79 million.
Yeah, $79 million. $79 to change your life forever. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ to get 10% off. This is a special offer to our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/QQ for 10% off. hellotushy.com/QQ. Tell them Soren sent you to clean your anus.
You mentioned packing and trips, and that reminded me. I have a quick question for you.
Go ahead.
Is your behavior when you're in a hotel or Airbnb different than it is when you're at home?
Yeah. I'm paying for it to be different.
Okay. What specifically is different, and is there anything about your behavior in these circumstances that you wish you could bring into your home life, or is it just I'm paying to be a slob here?
No, I'm not much of a slob there. I am paying for... So here's what I like to do. I get into a hotel room. I decide which drawers are going to be which. That's very exciting for me. Like when I, even if I'm staying for a night, I'm going to unpack my socks, my underwear. I'm going to put my shirts up. I'm also going to check for a robe. And then I'm going to see what's on cable because I don't have cable. And like the ideal circumstance is me checking into a hotel. I'm going to first... I'm taking a shit. Like I get there, I put everything in their drawers. And then I'm like, this is mine. No one knows I'm here. This is my time. Like I take as long as I want here. And I'm sort of like exploring the bathroom with my eyes while I'm there and like reading the mouthwash, like just really taking it all in, drinking it all in. And then everything's away. I'm going to turn on the TV and I'm going to flip through to find some movie on like USA. Here's best case scenario. I get to watch the last 45 minutes of Reign of Fire.
Got it.
Some movie I do not care. I don't give a shit about. But it's just this free time. Like it doesn't belong to anybody. I'm not wasting it. It's just like this. I'm enjoying it so much just being in this circumstance. And then I'm going to shower. I shower more than normal when I'm in a hotel because I just love the idea of using up all the soap and conditioner and all the accoutrement that they're like going to offer me.
Like, sorry, more times or the shower is longer?
More times. I'll shower more often. Because I'm just so excited to be in a new spot. I don't get all this, by the way, from an Airbnb. That feels sort of like a violation, like I'm in somebody else's house. But yeah. A hotel feels like once I'm out of that room, the house will stop existing. I mean, sorry. Once I'm outside of that room, the hotel stops existing, basically. Mm-hmm. Like everything that I've done there no longer matters. But I'm also not much of a slob there because... I'm terrified at the end of what someone will think when they come in. That housekeeping will get in there if I'm staying multiple days and they're like, what the fuck happened here?
Right. The nightmare scenario is you're like walking through the lobby and you see a housekeeper whisper to another housekeeper and point at you like, that's him. That's the one on the third floor. Yeah. It's like, oh, fuck.
I can't remember who it is. Maybe Jim Gaffigan or somebody talking about how he'll dry his hands on the curtains. Like he's, that's not me. But I'm going to explore, like this is mine for this short period of time. I'm going to explore every single inch of this hotel room. I'm going to see how the blinds work. I'm going to try it out with just the shears for a little while. Then I'm going to keep it completely open. Then I'm going to try it all the way shut. Like I want to get my money's worth in that hotel room. And I just love it. I love going there and spending that time in a hotel.
I also love hotels. This is a podcast of privilege now. I really enjoy staying in hotels, and I do a lot of the same stuff that you do in terms of exploration and immediately unpacking and like putting things in drawers, and then I put my suitcase away. Like I don't want to feel like I'm living out of a suitcase, even if I'm only staying in a hotel for like one night or two nights, it all still goes away and I make it feel homey and I put the suitcase away. So I feel like this is my spot right now. The thing that, for me personally is unique when I stay at either a hotel or an Airbnb is I decide where my phone, wallet, and keys are going to go. and like end. I never deviate from that. It's like, so this is the spot. This is the counter, or this is the side table, and that's where it goes. When I'm at home, I don't do that because I know my home so well, and I know that like those three items are somewhere, and I'll find them. They're on one of the places that I would have thrown them when I walked in the door. But at a hotel, I'm like, no, this is the organized spot where these things go. And it's very consistent. And I want to take that over to my home life and make my home life as organized as my hotel life is.
That's so, now that you're saying that, I'm pretty sure that I got the putting stuff away in drawers from you.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think that was something I always did, but you and I stayed together a lot when we would travel with Cracked, and that was a thing that you would do, and I was like, huh, let's see if there's anything to that, and really started to enjoy it.
It's nice. It's very nice.
But I just want to use up everything there. The paper, the little pad of paper that they're going to provide me, that thing's, the entire thing's going to be used up, and I'm not writing, I'm not writing poems or like scripts or anything like that. I'm on this page, I'm going to do a little stick guy that I've practiced since I was 18. And on this one, I'm going to do the Stussy S. And I'm just doing little things. I look forward to the opportunity that I get to use their pen and their paper.
Yeah. I get very excited about there being a phone in the room. That's super neat to me. And they're like, press this button if you need the front desk. And I'm like, I don't, but here we go anyway.
How's it going down there?
Yeah. Because in some hotels, you press a button and they pick up and they say, hello, Mr. O'Brien. Like, they know it's you because of technology. It's so fucking cool.
And like the idea that I take a shower, I can take as long as I want to get dressed. And when I do, like, I'm going to get it exactly right. I'm not just throwing stuff on. Like, now I'm going to, ooh, what's this? Some lotion? Yeah, let's try some of that. And then I'm going to go down to the restaurant or bar that they've got there. And I'm going to see that too. Because this, as long as I'm here, this is all mine.
Yes. Yeah.
And it scratches this itch inside of me that I love. You know, now that I'm realizing it, I do pretty much the same thing when I'm camping. Mm-hmm. Obviously,
take a long shit as soon as you get there.
As soon as I get there, right on the campground. when I go camping, everything is going to have its particular place. I want it all laid out nice and neat, and I want to see every single thing around me. I want to explore the entire thing. And I start thinking of myself as like this native spirit. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this bird for a while and I'm going to understand its the things that it does every day. Ah, see, now it's looking for food. Obviously there it's digging up seeds, I see now. And like, I want to see all the flora and fauna and be like, I understand it. I see you. And I don't know what that is. I just like want the space to be mine.
Right. When was the last time you were in a hotel? Do you know?
Yeah. February. Mm-hmm. I went to Park City with work right before everything. And here's the thing. A hotel real experience can really be a bummer if it's dingy at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ruins the whole thing for me because I'm no longer just comfortable throwing my own naked body around the room. Like, now I'm going to lie on the comforter. Now, I don't know which of these pillows I'm going to use throughout the night, but I'm going to cycle through all of them. And I don't feel as comfortable anymore.
Right. Sometimes you walk in and you just, like, smell mildew. And it's like, well, this is... Yeah. Now I can't sleep.
Right. You can just tell how old the comforter is. You can, the walls peeling a little, and it'll just drive me crazy because I'm like, why wouldn't they fix that? Maybe I'll fix it for them.
Yeah. Hey, Soren, I got another quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is an investment you wish you'd made at the start of quarantine? Not like a financial, I should have put money in masks or whatever, but something that you wished you'd purchased for the home, or I'm assuming for your kids, that in retrospect would have made things go a lot easier for you. I can go first if you need time to think.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a couple. Free weights is one of those.
God, things. That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's something that like I really thought, well, I could run outside and I could do like body weight workouts where I'm just doing push-ups or squats or like fucking finding a thing to hang on outside and do pull-ups on. And anyway, this whole thing will be over in 2 weeks, so why would I spend money on free weights? And now I really wish I had them. And the other one is a really nice office chair, which I don't have because I don't have a home office because I don't like working at home. And a coworker not too long ago asked our group if anyone had an office chair that they liked and recommended for the home, and people had answers, and I realized, oh no, I've either been working from my couch or my kitchen table for 7 months, and I've been tremendously uncomfortable.
Yeah, that. You don't have a single office. You don't have like a swivel chair.
No.
Oh.
Because the way that things work is I live very close to our office, and also my building has a lot of nice amenities. One of which is like, we have our own library. We have like just like a large common area with comfortable chairs and like chairs with desks built into them. And that's where I've done a lot of my work the last couple of years. And all of those have been shut off because of COVID. So I've just been like truly working from home, which means working from this one spot on my couch mostly.
I think I've brought it up before. We have an office chair that Colleen's mom got for her like a decade ago, and since it's one of those ones that's a little porous, it's got little holes in it to make it look fancy, and we spun Ronan in it so hard that he threw up all over it, and there's just no way to get the vomit out of it, but we still use the chair. And that's a bummer. That the chair is starting to like fall apart. Like one of the arms sticks out a little further than the other, so if you don't want to put your elbows up, it just doesn't quite feel right, and there's no way to fix it. That's a good one. It would have been nice to have a different chair right at the start, but I am definitely on board with you with free weights. I thought about kettlebells or like a whole free weight rack. You know, like those pyramid ones where it's just doesn't take up much space.
Yeah.
And how nice that would have been. Some bands or something like that. Just, I didn't realize that gyms were going to be something we never do ever again.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of like waiting for this all to be over. And just getting fatter and fatter. But another one that I would have done if I would have had the foresight is I would have created a home recording studio and like paid to have it really done well. One of the rooms in my house just like set up to be a recording studio. Because
for this podcast?
No.
Thank God.
With my job, because we do animation where you continue production even during COVID because, you know, you don't have to film anybody. But the problem, where the rub is getting people to record. You can't bring them to a studio somewhere anymore because that requires a bunch of people to be there. And so you have to, you're reliant on the people who are home recording, especially early on during it. And so when I remember my episode last year, we were about to start, we were talking to the casting directors about who we would want for these parts. And they gave me a list of like six people. And they're like, these are the people in Hollywood who have home recording studios. And I was like, that's it? And they have other people who had mics at home, but they had hardwood floors. And that was a big problem. Like the way the sound bounces off of it. They just didn't have a good setup. And there were a few people who had great setups at home that actually made it sound like TV quality sound.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was smart, I would have gotten on that fast. Because last year, I also started to do a couple different voices on the show. And if I would have had that all set up, I feel like I could have gotten a lot more jobs. And then not only through our show, but I could have started acting again. I could have gone to different people and been like, look, I'm a voice actor. I have my own setup. I know that there are a handful of people in the entire area who have this same setup. Hire me for your show. Yeah. And I feel like I could have gotten a lot of jobs. I think everyone was fighting over the same six people.
Man, I had no idea that was going on in the industry. That's cool. I also assumed you were gonna pick something like something cool for Ronan.
Well, I bought him a jump house. I bought him a bouncy house.
That's true. You did that.
And he doesn't use it. So, and also the things that I thought to buy for him, I bought for him. Well, he's the one now that I buy fun stuff for. Where like I also get excited about it. Where I used to spend that money on myself, now I'm like, no, you know, it'd be so much fun for him is a tea and a whole bag of baseballs.
Yeah. I'm annoyed with how short-sighted I was with my purchases, because like as soon as I knew this was all happening, I bought a bunch of like survivalist food. Not survivalist food, but like I'm gonna stockpile rice and pasta and stuff that can last for a while that I will eat, assuming this is gonna be just a few weeks. And I got toilet paper, and I got like a fun puzzle, because like wouldn't it be fun if I did a puzzle? And then a few days into the puzzle, I was like, I'm finished. I finished the one interesting thing that I got myself.
Guess I'll have rice to celebrate. Yeah. I don't know if it was distribution chains got fucked up because of COVID, or if it was people were actually savvy in buying these things. But for a while, it was impossible to get a pull-up bar anywhere. As soon as I started to realize this was not short-term, I was like, I should at least have something. And then found out that all the great pull-up bars through any site were out of stock. You had to get like some knockoff shit. And then I tried to buy a Dremel drill. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's like a little sanding drill. It's a drill that doesn't look like a gun. It looks more like a wand. And then there's different bits for the end of it. And it's a really strong drill. It's very, very good for sanding stuff down, especially metal. And when I was working on projects around the house, because now I had all this free time, I was like, this would be a really great and handy tool for me to have. And it was like impossible to get a Dremel drill anywhere. Nobody was stocking them.
Why is everyone buying Dremel drills right
now? I don't know. I think I have to assume that it just fucked up distribution. The same way where I would go to the grocery store and I would try and find all dressed Ruffles, or I would try and find sweet and spicy Doritos, and they were not on shelves. Like suddenly.
Sweet and spicy Doritos.
Oh, Dan. They're like Doritos drenched in soy sauce. They're so good. They come in a purple bag. Have you not even seen these?
I've never heard of these things.
God, this feels like it should have been on your radar. Are you not clued into snacks?
I don't snack. Okay. Is a thing about me. I cook. Yeah, and I quite famously don't have snacks in the house.
Yeah, that never. People come from miles around just to see.
Just to open the cupboards and be like, wow, yeah, it's just like spices.
All this fucking rice you bought. That's okay. I don't know why I would have thought you'd be. Maybe because you and I both enjoy fast food. I assumed it was just some crossover with snacks as well. But there's...
And also, like, you lived in an office with me when we both lived in the office. I would snack in the office. That's my cheat, is I'm in the office, and the office has snack food, so I want to get a bag of Doritos there.
Yeah. Well, there's one called Sweet and Spicy that has disappeared for the past almost year. I can't find it anywhere.
I don't know. I'm now missing a thing that I never had.
And there... There were just certain things during the quarantine where I would just suddenly notice this thing I liked was gone, and I didn't know, or the thing I needed was gone. And there was no explanation. It wasn't like people were hoarding it. It's just all of a sudden the company pared back and like, all right, well, this is extraneous. We don't need this. If we're going to keep making stuff, we need people to be on the floor of the factory or whatever. We can give up these things. I don't know. But like, yeah, Dremel drills seems like such a weird thing to disappear. Yeah. Anyway, I would have gotten one of those. Get my hands on one of those sweet Dremel drills. Oh, with a little nickel file for the end. Oh, just like cuts through metal like butter.
Okay. I mean, you're losing me. And if you're losing me, we're losing the audience. So we should probably wrap up unless you got any other questions.
No, I'm good. Yeah. But I do want to read if it's okay with you, I want to do like the Twitter accounts and stuff. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's all right. Go ahead. Go right now.
Oh, no, I have to go get them. I'm in Arizona. I'm at my wife's parents' place. And so I don't remember where they keep them. I gave them a copy. I'm going to go ask them. But in the meantime, okay. I wanted to ask you a question, Dan. So
it's Daniel.
I wanted to ask you a question, Daniel.
Go ahead.
There have been a lot of scary things happening currently with Mike Pompeo saying that that Trump is going to be president again. There are a lot of senators now backing a very anti-democratic message, which is that Trump had the election stolen from him without any sort of evidence of that, and how it doesn't look likely that Trump will ever concede. Now, my question for you is, do you think Adele looks better now that she's thinner?
Oh, honest question? Absolutely not. I mean, I could expand on that, but it would be ungentlemanly of me to elaborate. I thought she looked fucking fine as shit right out the gate. I'm not saying she looks bad now. I'm just saying that when I first saw her and heard her sing, I was like, Adele, I would love to be part of your, you know, album 28 breakup, where you date some weird comedy dork somewhere down the line, and he breaks your heart because he's terrible at communicating. You know, look me up, that version of Adele.
Oh man, you could have had a whole album about you.
I know. And now she's like, she has, I'm now like so much more out of her league than I was before. I think I had a good thing going, and then I think I ruined it with that. I think I made it worse with that.
That's honestly such a good punchline, though. Because you go from being a very winsome guy to like, oh no. I agree with you, for the record. I thought she was pretty hot, and now I'm like, she looks more just sort of like run-of-the-mill star. And a little special something's gone. Well, I guess not the special something. She sings like crazy. But an element that I loved is gone. I guess that's it. All right. You can follow me, Soren.
Yeah, I'm not going to yes and that. We're not going to be two guys talking about how hot we think a woman is at the end of this podcast.
We should go through all the women and celebrity women and be like, is she hot? Is she hot? Okay, you can follow me, Soren, on Twitter at Soren_LTD. You can follow Daniel, assuming he approves you, on Twitter at DOB_INC. You can follow Michael, or Bacon as we call him, at Make Me Bacon Please. Please is spelled PLS. And you can find and hire our sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder, somewhere, but no longer GabeHarder.com, from what I understand, because he's lost the rights to it.
Yeah, someone else owns GabeHarder.com, or if the point is, the rights to his site have expired.
And you could buy them now.
Yeah, I think there's a really strong chance that I'm going to buy them tomorrow.
And we're just going to keep plugging GabeHarder.com. So whatever happens to live there, you're getting a lot of free publicity.
Yeah. And it's also, whatever happens to live there is Gabe Harder approved. He signs off on it. He sanctions it. He loves it.
Yeah. If he didn't, why would he have let that slip through his fingers?
Yeah. Even if it's just a website that is like hot or not, and it's two different pictures of Adele.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.